The human half was dying by inches, but it was dying. Guts and organs had fallen out of the huge wound down its side, and blood streamed across the platform, welled over the edge, and dripped onto the tracks below. Owen watched the half-man die. Half a man had been his enemy, opposed to everything Owen now believed in. But it was hard not to see in him a man shaped by implacable outside forces into a legend he had never chosen for himself. Owen could understand that. It was the story of his life, too. Giles clapped Owen on the shoulder, making him jump.
Well done, kinsman. You fought a good fight for an historian.
I could have used some help. Why didn't you two join in?
Oh, I couldn't have allowed that. It wouldn't have been sporting.
Stop sport. This is war.
Guys, I think we have a problem.
They both looked round to follow her pointing hand. The sundered energy half was still standing where they'd left it, but its shape was slowly changing. The coruscating energy pulsed and flowed, pushing at the boundaries of its form. It was becoming something else, something different, no longer bound or dictated by its human half. The slowly changing shape grew more disturbing as it became more distinct, until Owen had to fight not to look away. It was becoming alien, and more than alien. It had width and breadth and depth, and other dimensions too. Owen couldn't see so much as sense them, and they made his head hurt. Hazel fired her disruptor at it, and the energy beam bounced harmlessly away. The energy shape burned horribly brightly, like a hole cut in reality through which some malign god's light was shining. And then it was gone. And the memory of it faded thankfully from Owen's mind, like a nightmare best not remembered.
Well, that was different. Anyone here have any ideas as to what the hell that was, or what it was becoming?
A problem for the future, as I have a horrible feeling it'll be back someday, along with the aliens that created it. We may only have traded one threat for another.
Let them come. Let them all come. There'll be no match for the empire we shall create. Now let's go. We don't want to keep the Empress waiting.
He strode off down the platform, and Owen and Hazel fell in after him. Hazel looked at Owen.
I hate it when he gets all confident like that. It's just asking for trouble.
I couldn't agree more. At least as long as he's in front of us, I don't have to worry about what he might be doing.
And when the shooting starts, we can hide behind him. He's wide enough.
I can hear every word you're saying, and I don't find it in the least amusing.
They came flying out of the scarlet sun on the early morning skies, a vast armada of fast-flying gravity sleds. There were thousands of them, blackening the sky. One-man sleds with souped-up engines for more speed, armed to the teeth with bolted-down energy guns and heavy projectile weapons with long ribbons of bullets. No one had ever thought to use one-man sleds like this before, until Jack Random did. They filled the skies, thundering along with the sun at their back, heading for the towers, an army of retribution flying on wings of fury. Jack Random, Rudy Journey, and Alexander Storm led the way, flying side by side. They lowered the sled's force shields for more speed, and the wind of their passing whipped at their faces, driving tears from their eyes. The early morning chill cut right through them, despite the heating units in their outfits. Random looked across at Ruby Journey, and her black leathers and white furs, standing rock steady on her bucking sled, face grim and implacable, she looked like some dark Valkyrie out of legend, come to take the dead heroes to Valhalla, whether they wanted to go or not. Her sled was loaded down with weapons of all kinds, right up to the last ounce of weight that wouldn't interfere with her speed. She'd never looked happier. Random smiled back at her, then turned to look at Storm flying on his other side. The canny old warrior had strapped himself securely onto his sled, but even so, he still seemed to shake and shudder with every sudden movement of his craft. Ground forces would have had to struggle for days against the heavily manned and armed towers, fighting their way up floor by floor to reach the families barricaded in their heavily defended top floor. Random had thought about this plan for years, in the trenches and foxholes of endless battles on endless worlds, dreaming of what he'd do when he finally brought the war home to Homeworld. He thought of every problem, refined every detail, and now here he was, living his dream. Do or die, death or glory. And he couldn't have been happier either. Gravity barges lifted off from the tower's private landing fields and launched themselves into the sky to meet the armada. They were great lumbering ships with heavy armor and superior firepower, but the sleds were upon them in seconds and ran rings around them. The sleds fell on the barges, their weapons tearing ragged holes through the heavy armor by sheer persistence. As the sleds' fire continued, inner explosions rocked the barges, and smoke billowed out the holes, thick and black and shot with flames. One by one, the great heavy ships lurched or tilted helplessly in the air, drifting, already beginning their slow but inevitable descent to the ground. The armada of one-man sleds, only slightly depleted, left them behind and headed for the first of the pastel towers, standing tall and proud against the early morning sky. Thousands of them descended on the last redoubts of the clans. The towers waited till they were safely in range, then opened up with their own disruptor cannon, blowing great holes in the armada. Sleds plummeted from the sky, twisted metal wrecks leaving long, shaky trails of smoke and fire behind them. The majority pressed on. The leading sleds were close now, so close the tower's disruptor cannon could no longer train on them. Brandon thought he could see faces staring out, eyes wide with fear and shock, and his heart warmed at the sight. He was still grinning when a disruptor beam from Tower Chojiro hit his sled. He grabbed the controls and hung on grimly as the sled bucked beneath him, and then the whole control panel exploded. Blinded by smoke and flames, Random hung on to the dead throttle as the sled dropped out beneath him. The sled fell like a brick, leaving the smoke behind, and Random could see the armada falling away above him, leaving him behind. Random cursed and struggled with what was left of the controls. He wasn't afraid of dying. He was too angry. He hadn't come this far, been through this much, to fail now. The sled's engine coughed briefly, and the sled lurched beneath him, almost throwing him off. Random snarled something indistinct and concentrated on the controls, trying to coax a miracle out of the burning remnants of the crippled sled. And one of the gods he was praying to must have been listening, because the sled's engine fired back into life. It sounded ragged and uncertain, and the sled lurched and tilted this way and that, but gradually its headlong plummet slowed to a halt. And then, as Random whooped and howled and shook his fist in triumph, the sled slowly began to rise again, heading up the side of the Tower Chojiro toward the family on the top floor. The sled's engine wanted to cut out at any moment, but Random wouldn't let it, nursing the controls along with scowling concentration. The armada was still flooding by above him, dark shapes racing unstoppably toward the many towers. The guns still sounded, and great ragged gaps were appearing in the dark tide, but still the sleds pressed on. More and more gravity sleds made it past the tower's defenses and crashed their way into the top floors. Random cursed regretfully as his sled slowly rose nearer the top floor of Tower Chojiro. He couldn't see what had happened to Ruby Journey and Alexander Storm. He couldn't think about them now. The sled lurched up past the last few floors and came to a halt facing the top floor of Tower Chojiro. And Random's stomach lurched as he found himself facing a dozen leveled hand disruptors. Random did the only thing he could. He gave the sled all the speed it had and slammed the craft right into the waiting guards. Their shots went wild as he was suddenly among them, but some hit anyway. The sled exploded, throwing Random forward over the controls in a cloud of flames. He flew blindly through the air, smarting from the heat of the flames, trying to get his feet under him. The guards scattered as what was left of the sled crash-landed among them and exploded again. Random hit the carpeted floor hard, driving the breath from his lungs. He curled into a ball, hoping the smoke from the explosions would hide him, desperately trying to draw his sword and gun. He could hear shouting and the crackle of flames and general chaos. And then, what was left of the fiercely burning sled crashed down on top of him, pinning him to the floor. and there was only blazing heat and the roar of the fire all around him. The surviving guards called for reinforcements as they fought the fires breaking out all over the top floor. The clan Chojiro had already retreated to the floor below some time back. More men arrived, and a handful of guards cautiously approached the blazing wreckage of the downed sled. There was no way anyone could have survived such a crash and its aftermath, but the guards were taking no chances. They cautiously turned the burning sled over, revealing a dark, human figure. Its clothes were charred and smoldering, and the bare face and hands were blackened and red raw from burns. But its back was straight, and its head erect, and the blistered hands held gun and sword securely. The eyes were pale slits in the dark face, but white teeth flashed suddenly in a disturbing smile.
I don't die that easily.
But Jack Random knew the truth. Surviving the crash had taken a lot out of him, and he wasn't going to be given enough time to recover. He would have shrugged if it hadn't hurt so much. He'd always known he'd die alone, overrun at last by too many enemies. And that was when Ruby Journey's voice suddenly grated in his ears.
Hit the floor, Random!
Random threw himself down without questioning, and the room was immediately full of the roar of gunfire as Ruby opened up with the heavy projectile weapons mounted on her gravity sled, hovering outside the shattered windows. The guards jerked and convulsed as the bullets tore through them, falling helpless before a weapon they had never been prepared for.
Jack, you look awful.
Ruby came toward him, cradling the projectile weapon she had used to dispense with the guards. Random stood up and moved over to the stairs. No point in trying the elevator. It was bound to be booby-trapped. The family would be on the next floor down, no doubt barricaded in, and surrounded by a small army of protectors. Not that it would do them any good. Random grinned like a wolf and felt the skin of his face crackle. He reached up automatically and rubbed at his mouth. Black flecks of dead skin fell away. He peered at a small mirror set on the wall by the stairs. Fresh, new skin showed where the dead had peeled away. He was healing. He still felt like shit, but he didn't have time to bother with that. He pushed open the stairway door and peered down the brightly lit metal stairs. Quite deserted. Random smiled again. He had no doubt Clan Chojiro had all kinds of unpleasant surprises lying in wait for him. He called sharply to Ruby, and she hurried over to join him, her pockets bulging with all sorts of expensive items. She took the lead when Random indicated and started down the stairs, Random right behind her. They hadn't gotten far when a determined band of elite troops came hammering up the metal stairs to meet them. Ruby opened up with her gun at once, the sound horribly loud in the confined space, but the guards had already turned on their personal force shields, those at the rear holding them over their heads. Bullets ricocheted harmlessly from the shield, and Ruby had to stop firing as her own bullets came flying back at her from the walls of the stairwell. She dropped her gun and drew her sword, expecting the guards to lower their force shields and charge with drawn swords. But instead, the shielded guards moved slowly forward, filling the stairs, forcing Ruby and Random to back away before them. There was nowhere else they could go. It was a simple tactic, its only function to keep the rebels from getting to the clan. With anyone else, it might have worked, but Ruby and Random had been touched by the madness maze. They reached out to each other mentally, linked their thoughts. A pyrokinetic fire roared away from them, filling the stairwell with a heat so extreme, the metal steps began to twist and bubble. In no time, the fire was everywhere, and when it finally disappeared, the stairwell was full of charred bodies and the thick, heavy smell of burnt meat. Ruby and Random broke their mental link and looked dispassionately upon what they'd done. Suddenly, they heard a single set of footsteps coming hurriedly down the stairs from above. Ruby quickly grabbed up her projectile weapon as Random drew his disruptor. Alexander Storm rounded the corner of the stairwell, stopped, and blinked mildly at the guns trained on him. Random lowered his gun and grinned up at Storm.
About time you got here, Alex. I was wondering what was keeping you.
Traffic was murder. I see you two have been raising hell again.
Just doing what we have to. Fall in behind us, Alex, but don't start dragging your feet or we'll leave you behind. We're right on the Chujiro's heels now, I can feel it.
They went cautiously, but met no resistance. Such easygoing could only mean the Chojiros wanted him to reach them, which in turn could only mean they had something really unpleasant and devastating in store for him. When they stormed down the stairwell onto the next floor, a quick glance around assured Random there were no troops waiting, and no obvious traps. Just a man and a woman standing together, waiting to greet their visitors with ostentatiously empty hands. Bibi Chojiro and Gregor Schreck. Bibi was a petite doll of a woman, with long dark hair and sharp oriental features. She wore a kimono of bright scarlet, wrapped tightly in all the right places. It was easy to see why Julian Skye had once fallen in love with her. The Schreck, on the other hand, was a short, fat butterball of a man with a bulging, fleshy face and deep-set eyes. A tricky, dangerous, vindictive man by all accounts. Random moved slowly forward, stopping carefully out of reach of the Chojiro or the Schreck. Ruby and Storm moved in on either side of him, guns trained. Bibi Chojiro bowed deeply to them. Gregor managed a stiff nod.
Who the hell are these people?
Ruby didn't bother to lower her voice.
I do wish you'd keep up on the briefings.
Random did not take his eyes off the two before him.
The woman speaks for the Chojiros in negotiations and the like. You ought to recognize Gregor Schreck at least, Ruby. Chief Slimeball in a totally disreputable clan. Rebel when it suits him, but always a member of the families.
Toby's uncle?
That's the one.
Bibi Chojiro smiled charmingly at her three visitors.
Welcome, honored guests. Please excuse the earlier armed responses. At that time, the families had yet to reach agreement on the best course of action to take, and they felt the need to defend themselves while the talks continued. I am happy to be able to inform you that all discussions have now ended, and I am empowered to speak for all the clans. The Schreck is here to confirm my words. Basically, we wish to surrender. I speak for every clan in the Empire. We see no point in continuing in an armed struggle. Our surrender is, of course, dependent on certain conditions. The families are prepared to give up their lordships and associated privileges in return for their survival. Essentially, the aristocracy will disappear, to be replaced by family-owned business operations. The clans will continue to run their particular financial concerns, but will take no further part in the governing of the Empire. It's really quite a simple deal. You guarantee our safety, and we give up politics. We're not so blind that we can't see the old order is finished and a new way is beginning. And isn't that what you really wanted, Jack? An end to established, inherited wielding of power in the Empire?
Get on with it. Just because a thing's necessary, it doesn't mean I like having to bow down to rebel scum. You haven't won, Random, and we haven't lost. It's a stalemate. You could stick to your original plan and try to take us down, but I swear we'd fight to the last survivor of each clan and see most of your people dead in the process. So, Random, is your need for revenge worth the deaths of so many of your followers? When you can save them and win the day with just a word?
I don't know. It might be. As long as people like you live and go unpunished, the rebellion will really have been for nothing. All those who died to help us get this far will have died for nothing. The system has to fall, and you're part of the system.
If we go down, it won't be just the system that falls. You've had the carrot. Now here's the stick. You reject the deal, and we'll use our financial power to destroy the Empire's economic base. What of your glorious rebellion then, Random? Destroy us, and we'll destroy the people you've been fighting to save. Now, are we going to agree to the deal or not? As long as we're standing here talking, people on both sides are dying needlessly. Not that I give a damn, but you're supposed to care about such things. Decide, Random. We know the Underground will abide by your decision.
Don't listen to him, Jack! We haven't come this far to give up now. We can tear the families down just like you always wanted.
You heard the price. I always fought for the good of the people, not my own needs and wishes. What good is there in burning down an empire if all we have to live in is the ashes? The needs of the people come first. That's why I became a rebel in the first place. If I put their future at risk for the sake of my own revenge, then everything I've ever fought for becomes a lie. With the families removed from political power, maybe we can civilize them. And, after all, maybe there'll still be room for a little private revenge after the rebellion is over.
BB still smiled.
Yes. Clan Chojiro has always appreciated the honorable art of vendetta.
So, we have a deal?
Yes, damn you, we have a deal. Stand down your people, and I'll halt the attack. Stay in your towers till the rebellion's over, and we'll hammer out the details afterward. And no, I'm not going to shake your hands. I have to keep some self-respect.
I don't believe this.
Ruby stepped back a pace so that her projectile weapon covered them all.
You were born an Aristo, and you're still one at heart after all. Make your deal, Jack. But I'll never believe anything you tell me ever again.
And in the end, it was as simple as that. The word went out, the armada broke off its assault on the towers, and both sides stood down. Some unexpected good came from the deal. Valentine Wolfe didn't trust it to guarantee his safety, after all he'd done, and so he fled Tower Wolfe to take sanctuary in Lionstone's court. By leaving his tower, he broke the deal, and made himself a legitimate target for anyone who wanted to go after him. Ordinary people began to stream back into the city, sensing that the worst of the fighting was over. They cheered the rebels and called for the downfall of the Empress. They tore down her statues and spit on them, torched public buildings, and generally ran riot in the streets, drunk on the promise of freedom. The underground had to direct people away from the fighting to control the growing jubilation and prevent widespread looting, which put something of a dent in their general popularity. The underground had no choice but to ignore that. They had more important things to think about. They knew the war wasn't over, while Lionstone was still safe and secure in her steel bunker, deep below the surface, far away from the fighting. Back in Tower Chojiro, Gregor Shrek and BB Chojiro had left to carry the good word back to their respective people, leaving Jack Random, Ruby Journey, and Alexander Storm alone. Random had already contacted the Underground and apprised them of the deal, and was now thinking hard, trying to work out all the angles, desperate to be sure he hadn't, after all, made a terrible mistake. Ruby was stomping up and down, fuming quietly, kicking the furniture. Storm watched them both, and for a time said nothing. Random finally looked around and caught the expression on Storm's face.
What is it, Alex? The rebellion's all over now, bar the shouting.
No, it isn't over as long as the Empress still sits on the Iron Throne. She has access to all kinds of support. Weapons, people, secrets that the Underground knows nothing about. She could still turn it all around. And the people in the streets would cheer her victory just as loudly as they are now calling for her head.
If she had any last nasty surprises, she'd have used them by now.
Is that what's upsetting you? Forget it. Ruby's right. Come on, cheer up. I haven't seen you smile once since we got here.
They came to you to make the deal, not to me. Even though I represent the Underground. They trusted your word, not mine. A small thing, perhaps, but the last of many.
Storm looked at Random, almost helplessly.
But it's still going to be harder than I thought.
What is? Look, have you got something to say? Spit it out. I haven't got time to worry over your hurt feelings.
Time. This has all been about time, really. Time steals our life away, day by day, and we don't notice how much we've lost till it's too late. We fought for years, you and I, and all for nothing. gave up our youth and all our chances for love and marriage and children and happiness, all for a dream that never came true. When we started, you promised me power and success, victory over our foes and justice for all. And I never saw any of it. Just hard fighting and harder living, cold food and bad liquor, and one lost battle after another. Running from world to world with nothing to show for it but more dead friends and a few new scars to nurse. And that was my life with Jack Random.
But that was then. We moved on. Things have changed. We've changed.
Yes. We got old. But you got young. And that was the last straw, really. I could have stood it if time had cheated us both equally. But you got a new life again. And I didn't. You were right, Jack. There's always time for a little personal revenge. Thanks for helping me think this through. You've made this so much easier. Jack, code 00RED2.
Jack Random convulsed, his back arching as though he'd been hit from behind. He sank to his knees, trying to force words out of a contorted mouth. Ruby was quickly at his side, kneeling down and holding his shaking hands in hers.
What is it, Jack? What?
He can't hear you. You see, when the med-techs had him in their nasty little hands not all that long ago, they took the precaution of implanting certain control words in his head, just in case he ever got away from them. And they gave those words to me when I agreed to become an Imperial spy, their agent in the heart of the underground. They always thought there was a chance we might meet again, eventually. And how right they were. Ever since then, it's just been a question of waiting for the right moment. I kept putting it off and putting it off, hoping for a return of the old camaraderie we used to share, hoping for a chance to be a hero again. But he wouldn't even allow me that. So, in the end, I am the Empress's man. And now, so is he.
But you were a hero. Everybody said so.
And now I'm a traitor. Only if the Empress wins, then I'll be the hero and he'll be the traitor. It's all a matter of how you look at things. And who are you to judge me? You always said you were only in this for the loot. Well, now so am I.
You bastard!
Letting Random go and scrambling to her feet, Ruby reached for her sword.
I never liked you. Jack, shut this bitch up!
Random rose to his feet. Ruby turned on him, sword in hand, her face desperate. Random slapped her sword aside and hit her once on the jaw, snapping back her head. She fell to the floor and lay still. Storm moved over and kicked her in the ribs. Her head lolled helplessly. Storm nodded, satisfied.
Very good, Jack. Now pick her up and follow me. Lionstone is waiting for us to join her.
And so they left the tower and made their way through the confusion of the streets, down into darkness, heading for hell.